Thank you for joining me today. And today, I'm talking with you from Hong Kong. And in these days together, we're going to take a little different approach in our understanding of who God is. I want us to wrestle with this question. What is God doing in other parts of the world outside of New England or wherever you are listening, unless you're listening from China, because that's the country we'll talk about starting today. Are there Christians in China? And if so, how many and where are they located? How would they describe God? What has their experience of following Jesus Christ been like? What can they teach us about God and how those of us who are Christians can pray for and otherwise support them? It's questions like these that are of interest to us. I myself have lived in Hong Kong for 20 years and have served the church in mainland China and the English-speaking church in Hong Kong during that time. And during these fruitful years of ministry, I met our guest here today with us on God Is. And let me introduce him to all of you. I think you're really going to enjoy hearing from him. It's Dr. Brent Fulton. And Brent is the president of China Source and author of a book that I have right here in front of me. It's called China's Urban Christians, A Light That Cannot Be Hidden. It's an intriguing book, and we'll get more into the book in our conversation together in the days ahead. Brent, welcome to God Is.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be with you today.
It's wonderful to have you and Jasmine along. Jasmine is Brent's wife here in Hong Kong. And Brent, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, Mark, I grew up in a very mission-minded church in a Christian family. And really, from a young age on, I believe that God was calling his people to be involved in sharing the gospel all over the world. I saw many missionaries going out to different parts of the world. And I made a commitment as a young person that unless God directed otherwise, I would aim to serve overseas in some capacity. And so right out of college, the Lord ended up calling me here to Hong Kong. And I served for a couple of years, began to really understand what was happening with the church in China at that time, which was just amazing. And what was to be a two-year short-term assignment really turned into a lifetime of trying to understand what God was doing in China and just really trying to keep up. And so returned to the States with the same ministry I was with at the time, began some graduate studies in political science because I realized I need to understand more about China, and everything in China is ultimately political, and so I ended up studying Chinese politics for a number of years. And then during that time, I met Jasmine, who was born in Myanmar or Burma. Had come to the United States, and we met in California and were married in the early 90s. And then the Lord took us to Wheaton, where we both worked at Wheaton College for a time. And it was there that China Source was born, an organization that was put together to help connect the various ministries and churches that were getting involved in China during that era, to try to encourage them to communicate better with each other and to try to find ways to work together. And later on, Mark, you and I can talk more about what we actually do and how we do that. That was kind of the vision, God's people working together in China. And so for the last 20 years, we've been involved with China Source. The last roughly 11 years from 2006 to last year, we lived here in Hong Kong again. But then last year, we moved back to Southern California, where we are currently based.
Wow, intriguing. Now, I was thinking about this the other day, and I actually can't quite remember it. But can you remember how long we have known each other and in what capacity?
Yes, I believe it was the early 2000s. You were serving as a mission pastor at a church here in Hong Kong, and you came to a conference called China Challenge, which China Source put on. And you were exploring opportunities in Northwest China at the time on behalf of the church. And I think that's where we first began our friendship.
I think you're right. And isn't that amazing? That could be as long ago as 18 years.
Mark, you're making me feel old.
Well, I'm only making you feel how we both are, getting older now and getting older every day, as everyone is, of course. And during that time, much has changed in the nation of China. Much has actually changed in the city of Hong Kong, as things have changed all over the world. Talk to me a little bit about what it's like to have done ministry with the Chinese all these years. For example, can I ask, do you speak the Chinese language?
Yes, I do. When I first came to Hong Kong, the first time I began studying Mandarin, which is the predominant dialect in China that most people speak, and have been studying ever since. Chinese is not a language that you learn quickly. I think it's really a lifelong endeavor, and I've been working at it.
How did you learn it?
Well, when I came to Hong Kong, the organization that I was working with put me in a flat with a couple from China that was also with that organization and their young daughter. And they were from central China, Henan province. So they all spoke Mandarin. And except for the daughter, they didn't speak any English. So I was kind of in a sink or swim situation. Fortunately, I also had a tutor who was from China. And so we would get together a couple of times a week for study. And that's how I began learning Mandarin.
Wow, it's impressive. Friends, for those of you who have not learned Chinese or have not learned Mandarin, I could tell you that that's quite an accomplishment, that by the grace of God, a person that's from the West can learn to speak Chinese fluently and can have conversations with our brothers and sisters in Christ in that language. In Hong Kong, Chinese folks speak Cantonese, and that's different than Mandarin, isn't it? In other words, somebody speaking Cantonese to someone who's speaking Mandarin, they may not necessarily understand each other.
That's right. Actually, China has many dialects, regional dialects, and Cantonese is one of those. And even in Hong Kong, the Cantonese spoken here is different from the Cantonese spoken across the border in Guangdong province. And so you find people who actually can't understand Hong Kong folks sometimes and vice versa. But under Mao Zedong, who came to power in China in 1949, the language is unified. And one of the things that Mao did was to say everybody's going to learn Mandarin. So at least there's one common dialect that that people mostly would be using in China.
How about in like a Chinese Bible? So for example, let's say that a Cantonese-speaking person in Hong Kong is reading in the Gospel of John, and let's take it up north to mainland China and see that a mainland Chinese brother or sister in a church there is reading in that same gospel in, say, the same chapter. When they look down at the written Chinese, are they looking at the same type of character written?
The characters are exactly the same. That's the interesting thing about Chinese, because it's a language that uses characters. The pronunciation of the character can be different, but the character is the same. And so while people might have some different grammar, phraseology, certainly different idioms across dialects, everybody can read the same Bible.
Amazing. And the Bible is widely read in mainland China, correct?
It certainly is. And, the government allows about 4 to 5 million copies a year to be published inside China, and they're distributed through the officially recognized churches in China. But today, like many places in the world, a lot of Christians have their Bible on an app, and those are also available in China and around the world.
Well, it's fascinating, and we're going to talk more about that for certain, because, of course, here on God Is Daily, we study the Bible, and we look to the Bible as our only source for telling us the truth about who God is. But I thought it would be important in these first couple of days together also, Brent, to get to know you. And I want to ask, when and where and how did you become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, like I said, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian family with parents who brought me to church regularly. So it was as a primary school student in church, just hearing the gospel presented very plainly by the pastor and understanding that I needed to have a personal relationship with Christ and that he had come to give himself so that I could do that, so I could know God through Jesus Christ. And so I gave my life to Christ as a young person. And like all believers, began growing sometimes in fits and starts in those early years. But that was when I began my journey with Christ.
Well, so you've been following Christ for many years now then?
For many years, yes.
And let me bring it into the present and talk about your daily walk with God now. If I asked you the question, who is God to you? Or how is God revealing himself to you? How would you answer?
Well, I've come to appreciate more and more in recent years the idea that God's story goes from, you know, before the beginning of time to eternity. And that story is revealed through the Bible. I've been spending a lot of time in the Old Testament recently and just struck again and again about how the gospel comes out in the Old Testament, because it is all God's story. God made us, we turned against him, and God has been pursuing us ever since, winging us back to himself and giving his own son so that we might have a restored relationship with him. And so to me, God is the one who pursues his own. It's the image of the shepherd in the Bible, the one who will go after the lost sheep, leave the 99 and go after the lost sheep because he loves that one so much.
Wow, and you talk about spending time recently in the Old Testament. Can I just ask, is there a portion of the Old Testament that really captures your mind, your heart, your imagination, your attention?
Oh, there's probably many. But I've just finished reading through 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And oftentimes when we think of Chronicles, we don't necessarily think of inspirational devotional literature. Chronicles is a collection of stories about a lot of kings. And in between, there's a lot of lists of names of people. And so sometimes Chronicles can be kind of tough going. But what I've seen in these stories about all these kings, some of them are really good kings. Some of them are really bad kings. They're Israel's leaders. And the common theme there is that the good kings, when they really understood what God expected of them, they returned God's people to worship. They restored worship. You know, you think of Josiah restoring, you know, reading the scriptures for his people and then having the Passover celebrated again and cleaning up the temple. And it was all about bringing the people back to God.
Brett, it's a good place to stop, and we must stop. Friends, we're going to talk more about who God is and about the nation of China tomorrow right here on God Is with Dr. Brent Fulton.